But first, I need to tell you that there will be a meal here this Wednesday night. So 5:30, is that right to you? I'm backwards. Okay, 5:30, there will be a meal here, and then afterwards people will go to various live it out places where we can serve our community. So please come, and maybe there'll be some leftover communion so you can have, if you're gluten-free, you can just eat that. we're in John chapter 8 today, and now at this point, John has been having this long sort of two or three chapter, the way John records it at any rate, two or three chapter conversation with the Pharisees. And they kind of have gone back and forth about some of the things he's saying and some of their accusations that they don't like. Mainly because the Pharisees believed that kind of had it all together. You know, these were the educated class. They knew a lot of answers. They thought they knew it all. And so they're challenging Jesus at this point on, well, what about this, what about that? And as we'll see in our text, there's a few, I'm going to call them dichotomies, this or that, that sort of arise in this passage. So I'm just going to start reading verse 12, and I'm just going to read through it, and then we'll talk about some of those. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So the Pharisees said to him, "You are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true." Jesus answered, "Even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true, for I know where I came from and where I am going, but you do not know where I come from or where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. In your law it is written that the testimony of two people is true. I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me." They said to him then, "Where is your Father?" Jesus answered, "You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also." These words he spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, but no one arrested him because his hour had not yet come. So he said to them again, "I am going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come." So the Jews said, "Will he kill himself, since he says, 'Where I am going, you cannot come'?" He said to them, "You are from below. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." So they said to him, "Who are you?" Jesus said to them, "Just what I have been telling you from the beginning. I have much to say about you and much to judge, but he who sent me is true, and I declare to the world what I have heard from him." They did not understand that he was speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said to them, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him." As he was saying these things, many believed in him. Let's pray. Jesus, we have a hard time hearing you sometimes. We have a hard time believing. We are often like the Pharisees. We think we have it all together. Pray that you would use your word in our hearts today. It's in your name. Amen. All right, some of these dichotomies that arise here. First of all, verse 12, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Light or darkness is sort of what's going on here, that Jesus is saying, these are your choices. And it's interesting, when I read that, I first kind of thought, okay, this concept of light and darkness seems to go way back. In Isaiah 9:2, it's one of our Christmas passages, says the people that have walked in darkness have seen a great light. The idea that there's something dark and I need light on it. I read for a call to worship this morning from 1 John where John draws this same sort of contrast that we walk in darkness when we don't know Jesus. So I'm thinking, okay, what does this mean? How does this play out? What is darkness anyway? Blindness, right? The inability to see, maybe understand, maybe metaphorical, not being able to comprehend or understand truth or reality. Inability to see what is true is essentially what this means, to be walking in darkness. And I think that gets down to the core of our brokenness. I want to hear that for a minute. When we walk in darkness, we have the inability to even see what is true. Because sometimes we think, oh no, I've got this. But we need to be very clear and understand we don't, because we can't even see without the light of life that Jesus refers to, because we're broken. And then we realize that we're in this world and we have, the Bible tells us, we have three things that are against us: the world, the flesh, and the devil. And all of these, our own selves, as well as our enemy, the devil, the system of the world, wants to trip us up. We'll constantly throw things under our feet in an effort to trip us up. And we can't even see it unless we know Jesus. So this is why I asked for a volunteer. And Shay volunteered. Run over there and get a scarf from Julia. She has it for you. And we're gonna see what it looks like to walk in darkness. And I'm glad Shay volunteered, because he might get hurt. All right, Shay, here's what we're going to do. Close your eyes. Here, actually, come here. Stand right here. All right, close your eyes. Got them closed good. Only peeking. Can you see? Oh, can you see?
Oh, no.
Okay. Can you breathe? Oh, yeah, his mouth's out. You stand right there. All right, hold on. In a minute, what I'm going to ask you to do something. Okay? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right. I just want you, it's very simple. I pointed you. Can you tell where everybody is? Right here, I'm in front of you. So I want you to just walk across stage. Come on. Just walk across. It's all right. Having trouble? All right. Now, all right, go ahead. Come back over here. Now, I want you to stand right here. Now, instead, this time, you still can't really see, can you? That's all right. Give me your hands. I'm going to guide you. Come on. All right. Okay. There you go. Now I want to ask you one question. If I can get this off without ripping her scarf. All right, one thing. Which way was easier?
When you guided me.
Okay, here you go. Take that back, Julia. When I guided him, it was easier. Thank you, Shay. Here's the point. A lot of times we're standing there blindfolded, and we're trying to get somewhere, and we think we don't need to be guided. But it's obviously easier when we are. And that's the difference between being light, walking in the light or the darkness. So let me simply ask, what are the things that seem to trip you and me up? Could be morality, could be simple choices, good and bad choices that we make. Could be a theological thing. Well, I don't understand this, or I disagree with that. There's a lot of truth and lies issues that easily confuse us, trip us up, cause us to stumble, sometimes land on our face, And I think a lot of times that's because we think we've got it. We think we know the right answers. That sort of brings us to this second dichotomy here. Verse 14, "My testimony is true," Jesus says, "but you don't know me." So who are we going to listen to? Him or us? That's that second one. Who do you want to believe? Who are you listening to? It's no wonder we keep getting tripped up, because a lot of times we're listening to ourselves. But then we go back. I mean, we're broken. There's an explanation for this. I'm not accusing you or me of being foolish, just human. We've got the story. Adam and Eve ate a fruit, broke everything. All of humanity is now helpless. So that's why we sometimes think we have the answers, but we don't. And we tend to just move forward believing in what we believe and thinking that what we think is right without listening to what Jesus has to say. I think we tend to do that a lot. What I thought about doing, and I might have offended some people, but maybe it should, is taking a Bible and just ripping, first of all, rip the Old Testament right out. Because that's not good, is it? That's not the God we believe in. And then probably there's a lot of the New Testament that I'd rip out too. Pretty much when I got done, I'd be left with John 4:8 that says God is love, and only the second part of that. Because in our world, in our culture, that's what we do. We say, oh no, God is love, and so we assume a lot of things based on that half a verse, and we forget that he says an awful lot more to us. In fact, some of us are probably uncomfortable when we read that Jesus told people, you will die in your sins. There's a very real thing there. I read this article this week that it sort of frustrated me, but it's a good indication of where our culture is. And it was about this Catholic priest. This man had gone to the hospital, had a heart attack, and he wanted his priest to come give him last rites. Turns out he didn't die, thankfully, but he thought he might. So the priest comes to give him his last rites, and the man explains to the priest that he'd come out of the closet a few years back, and he was happy living in his new lifestyle and felt no need to repent. And so the priest said, well, I'll be glad to pray with you, to counsel you, but I'm not sure I feel comfortable serving you communion. Jesus is calling you to repent of something, and you don't want to. And that's hard. That's a hard issue. That's a hard thing to say. And of course, many of the comments that I read on this article were very mean-spirited toward the priest, who, you know, the idea was this guy is prejudiced and he's, you know, holding back this, essentially, a good feeling from this man simply because of the choice he's made. And it made me realize that in our world, what we think, that here's what we think. God wants us to be happy, right? I mean, of course. He loves us. He wants us to be happy. Here's the problem. We forget that we are like children. We don't even know what's best for us. How many parents in here, if their kids said, I want to go play soccer on I-94, would go, well, if that's what makes you happy. We don't realize that those things that we think will make us happy will often destroy us. And so we don't listen. We listen to ourselves instead of listening to what God has to say. That's destructive. It's harmful. It's dangerous. And we do it because we think we know better than he does. If we want to have real life, if we want to really live, we need to listen and trust Jesus, what he actually says. And there's so much life there. That's the third dichotomy, die or believe. Verse 24, I told you you would die in your sins. Unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. See, we don't like that one. A lot of times, we really don't. That's what he says. We just don't want to hear it. There's this goes on throughout Scripture. A couple chapters later in John 10:10, Jesus will say, I have come that they might have life and have it abundantly. A full, meaningful, healthy, fulfilled life. That doesn't mean there won't be tragedy. I need to make that clear. There might be. We will all suffer because we're in a broken world, but we can still have a full and meaningful life. Or we can have the consequences of the fall, the curse, separation from God. If death is anything, wouldn't it be a total separation from the source of all life? And the source of all life is our Creator. We can either live the way He made us to live, or we can believe that we know all the answers. We can believe in Jesus, what He says here, believe in Jesus, and that means that we will believe that He knows better, knows what is better for us. He knows more than we do. We will trust in Him. We will listen to Him. We will believe in Him. We will believe that we can have a better life by following Him than by following ourselves. We will also, by the way, believe what He says about us and Himself, that we are broken and that we need a Redeemer. One of my a preacher that I follow, Matt Chandler, tells this story that I think just kind of tells this really well. It tells the truth, and it also sort of points out where we easily mistake the gospel. And I think it's probably the best picture of the gospel I've ever heard. He tells the story that he was, years ago, he had a friend who was a single mom and also in a relationship with a married man. She obviously made some poor choices, and that was the situation she was in. Her relational history was not great, we'd probably all say. And so, he'd kind of been talking with her, and he and a group of friends had sort of been trying to help her understand the gospel. And so they went to this concert that was a Christian concert he invited her to go to. And after the concert, apparently this preacher comes up, and he starts talking, and his talk is about sex. And the way he does this, he illustrates by taking a rose. He had a rose, and he smelled it, and he says, so pretty, and it smells really good, and he threw it out, and he passed it around, and he said, everybody smell this. Everybody, just pass it around. Everybody needs to smell this rose. And he goes on, and Matt Chandler says he does the absolute worst talk on sex he'd ever heard in his life. The whole time the man's talking, Matt is sitting here next to this girl, and he's thinking, just shut up. And then finally he gets to the end, he says, where's my rose? And somebody brings the rose up, and they hand it to him, and it's broken, and the petals are falling off, and it's just brown and ragged because it's been passed all around. And the preacher, and this just infuriated Matt, and it does me too, and he stood up, and he held it up, and he said, who would want this? And it is a brutal, horrible, awful illustration. And Matt Chandler said it was all he could do not to stand up and yell out, Jesus wants the rose! Because that is the gospel. Jesus says you are broken. Your petals are falling off, either for your own choices or things that people have done to you or things that you've heard and seen. Yes, you are the rose. And He wants you. He wants to restore and redeem you. And that is the thing that, right there, that is what we need to believe. We often think that we have it all together, that we're a beautiful, perfect rose still on the vine. Jesus says we're cut off. We're broken. We're beat up. We've been passed around. Tragedy has hurt us. People have hurt us. We have hurt ourselves. We continue to do it all the time. But that He wants you. He wants that. And He wants to give new life to it. That is the gospel. That is what it means. And the only question for us is, will we believe that or will we die? Let's pray. Jesus, you give us so much. You restore us to life. Help us to believe that we don't have the answers, that we don't know what is right for us, and to believe that we're broken. God, I pray that there will be people this morning, this evening, tomorrow, who will cry out to you for freedom for the first time. And that you, because you always do, that you will give new life. It's in your name. Amen.